Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of nerd culture, reality TV, and current events from this week.
Yo, 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 it's Salam Nerds. My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watson Dean. I'm here with my boy, Chad.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and we are doing Monkey Man this week. Jazz, who is my co-host, is not here because he has not watched the movie yet, but he'll be checking in on us. But I do want to introduce you guys to a very special guest. We've had her on our podcast a few times before, once for Eternals and once again for She-Hulk. And welcome back to the show, Riddhi. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you. I'm so excited to be back and talk about Monkey Man, one of the best movies of this year, arguably.
I know. I'm super excited. So Riddhi talks about movies and Marvel and all types of stuff on her channel, but she's kind of like grown a little bit. And you're also in film school, am I right?
Yeah, so I'm not in film school, I will say that. I am in college, though, and I am doing trying to study film as much as I can with the small amount of classes that my college offers me and with only two months left until graduation. But yeah, other than that, you've pretty much hammered it. I do love movies. I love talking, watching, analyzing, reviewing films. I also have a specific passion for South Asian representation in diaspora media, which is why a movie like Monkey Man is so amazing for that. And I'm very excited to discuss it specifically for the representation angle and also just how great the film is in itself.
Yeah. And I heard this was one of the first premieres you ever got to go to. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was the first screening that I ever attended in my 3 years of talking about media online. So it was a very special moment that it was Monkey Man to be. It was very special that Monkey Man was the first screening / event I've ever been to. It was kind of just like the culmination of every single part of my identity.
That's super cool. I think Miss Marvel was the first one that I got invited to, so that was also really cool to me because I was like, oh cool, it's like one of our own. You get to just like appreciate this like moment with something that's like, you know, related to you and connected to you.
100%. That is so cool that Miss Marvel was your first one. Like, I think that is so beautiful and poetic for both of us in so many ways.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely, man. Listen, I'm excited to go into this movie because so much happens in this movie and it's so exciting. I mean, they've been like stories going around where like Dev Patel broke his hand while filming. He broke cameras. They had a film on GoPros and iPhones and like Netflix, like, wanted to shelve it and not even like push it out on their streaming platform. And then Jordan Peele came and saved the movie and got Universal to release it theatrically. They couldn't film in India, so they had to go to Indonesia because of COVID. Like, so much crazy stuff happened with this movie. It's a miracle it got made.
Oh, 100%. I think, and the biggest reason that it even got made and even got released is all due to Dave Patel's passion. I mean, I'm sure you know this is his passion project. He's been working on it for 10 years. It was everything that he wanted to do because Hollywood wasn't casting him in the roles. They weren't making the movies that he was passionate about. So it was a lot of hurdles, but it was really his grit and his passion, his determination to get this movie made that I think really pushed it over the edge, because I'm sure if someone else was in that position, they might have just given up and scrapped the whole thing. But this was not Dave Patel's time to make that decision for himself.
Yeah. And it's a shame that like he looked at this industry and was like, they're never going to cast me as an action star, because he is like trained in martial arts. He's been a first degree black belt in Taekwondo since 16 years old. So he's done like mixed martial arts. He is like all the stunts he's doing, it's him. It's not like a stuntman. So like if someone can actually do the stunt and you still don't want to cast the actor in the movie, like that's weird. Like there's the Rock doesn't even do his own stunts. Like, it's crazy. And Dev Patel's like doing all these amazing stunts, and the industry wouldn't cast him. So he was like, you know what? He's going to do it yourself. And I always say this, if there's no room for you at the table, build your own table, right? Sometimes that's what you got to do.
100%. I think there's an influencer, her name's Ashna Gray, but she's more in the beauty lifestyle space, but she has a tagline on her TikTok bio, and it reads, be the representation that you desire. And that is exactly what Dev Patel did with Monkey Man. Listen, as someone who is also did Taekwondo, and I'm personally a second degree black belt in it, if I was in his position, but if I was in his position and I was a film star, I would also want to do an action movie, knowing that I could do my own stunts. And I think for him, and this is why I think Monkey Man is such a big movie for South Asian representation, I mean, for many reasons, but one of them being, it's like, this is the first time in Hollywood we have seen a brown man become an action star, and his movie being on pars with what is considered to be some of like the greatest action cinema that exists, from John Wick to Bruce Lee. And I think that's very beautiful. And I think the fact that those was their inspiration for Dev Patel, and he really went out and did it. It's so beautiful, especially when you consider for how long South Asian men have been shown in Hollywood, you know,
right?
They're always a funny guy. They're always dirty. They're always tech support. And they was like, no, we can be so much more, and we deserve to be in every single genre, every single character that, you know, our white counterparts are in.
Yeah. And Dev Patel has been doing that for a while, because not only did he break like into the action scene, but also romance, because he's actually been in a lot of not rom-coms, but like romantic movies and even a TV show. I don't know if you ever watched this popular show on Amazon called Modern Romance. It was really popular first season, but Dev Patel's in one of the episodes, and it's a really good episode. And it's really, really like one of the scenes went viral because he's so good at it. So like he's done a lot of it. It's not just like Slumdog Millionaire, where you're seeing the story about, like, you know, someone from the slums, but he's also done romantic comedies, and he's also done like action flicks. And, you know, there's also a movie we don't talk about, but he was also Zuko, right? Which is say what you want about that movie, still dope that he got to be Zuko. We've never had a bad Zuko, in my opinion. We've never had a bad Zuko. The movie might not be good, but we've never had a bad Zuko.
100%. It's kind of funny. I actually think of that movie and I'm like, it's directed by a South Asian, and yet M. Night Shyamalan, he chose a brown person to play Zuko, knowing that's not anything in the live action. He's not brown. He's not from the Earth Kingdom. So I like to joke that it's brown on brown crime. He kind of did Dev Patel dirty with that one, you know? And I'm like, you're literally a South Asian director. Why will, you know, it's something funny to joke about, but it's like also like, why would you do that to your own people? Especially knowing how hard it is already for South Asians to not only pursue entertainment, like given, you know, I don't know about you, but like growing up, you're, as South Asians, they're told not to go into the arts.
Yeah, we are.
It's too risky. And so when you have very few people in the industry to begin with, and already not that much support to go in there, it's like, we got to uplift each other. But Dev Patel is really doing that for himself. And, you know, he's genre bending. He was also in a period drama. I don't know if you've seen, I believe it's the personal history of David Copperfield. I think that was the first time I've seen a brown man in a period drama in a main role. And Dev Patel did that. So just very beautiful to see what he's doing.
He also did the A24 movie, which is a Green Knight. And the A24 movie is like the thing now. You know how people used to talk about being in a Marvel movie? That's how they talk about like A24 movies. People love being in that. And I know you mentioned M. Night Shyamalan, which is very interesting. I just saw like a documentary on him recently. And M. Night Shyamalan is a very successful director, even though all his movies are considered flops, because the way he directs movies, he always comes under budget. And like, he does a really good job of like not making these like movies so like, you know, huge and inflated the budget. And then when they make their money back, it's a lot, because he definitely did a good job at budgeting it. Like, I think one of the movies that they mentioned was the one with, I want to say James McAvoy, where it turns out to actually be a sequel to Unbreakable, which is super cool. And that movie was made for like just a couple of million, and it did so well. So like, and then ones that flop, they are also filmed very like low budget. So like, even though they like flopped through reviews and like didn't do that well, they still made money. So that it's really interesting how he's considered like in Hollywood, a good director, even though like in general audiences don't appreciate that. It's really, really funny to me.
That is so interesting. I actually don't think I've ever seen an M. Night Shyamalan film. I definitely need to work on that. But, you know, he is one of like the first prominent famous directors I've heard of in Hollywood that is from an Indian origin. I think it's even more, well, I don't know if we want to deviate too much, but I think his, when I look at his filmography as a director, it's even more interesting to me because he's one of the few directors that I've seen of South Asian origin that hasn't done a South Asian based story at all or had a movie with like a South Asian lead as far as I'm.
Yeah. Though. And I think if they are, they're like very like obscure. Like I think what's the Lady in the Water might have been like based on some like old folk tales or something like that from India, but like it's very like no one would know that unless you went out looking for it. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that's interesting. I think he just came out with Cabin in the Woods. I think that's one of a Knock on the Woods or something like that.
Yeah, it's the cabin. Not that I've seen it, but
yeah, that's the one he came out. All right, so let's talk about what we think of Monkey Man, because I really like this action movie. When I first heard of it, I was like, oh, it's going to be an Indian John Wick. That's how they're promoting it. And I guess that's how you get like the masses to come, right? But even though I don't think it's as similar to John Wick as people think it is, like John Wick is heavy on gunplay. There's very little gunplay on there. And this is a more complex revenge story. It's more about class warfare and marginalized communities than just someone's dog being killed, right? So as there are homages to John Wick and Kill Bill and all the other movies, it definitely feels like its own movie. And we've seen these thrillers in Bollywood and you know other movies a lot. Like something happened and you go on this revenge thing. This has been happening since like Death Wish, since Taken, since Western movies. So this isn't a new genre. It's just the fact that like they do it in a suit now and everyone thinks it's John Wick. So it's really, that's what it is. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I'm gonna be very honest. I've not seen John Wick. I mean, okay. I know I'm a cinephile, not cinephile, but I'm a film enthusiast. I am very picky with my action films. Action is just not my forte. But so I can't really speak on the John Wick comparison. I will say it does frustrate me considering there's an interview where someone asks Dave, like, how do you feel about being called the South Asian John Wick? And he's like, it's not even John Wick inspired. It's from a lot of Korean cinema, like with Bruce Lee and et cetera. So if you want to really pinpoint the real references that this movie is inspired by, just go listen to Dave Patel talk about it. But yeah, that's what I really have to say on that is Dave said it himself better than I probably ever could. That being said, when I actually think of the movie, the biggest film that it reminded me of, first of all, thematically, was PK, specifically in the way that it discussed religion and faith and how that's used to, you know, manipulate masses and gain power. And PK is a Bollywood movie. But the film that it really reminded me of, specifically in terms of the main character, was actually Black Panther with T'Challa's character.
Yeah.
In some ways, I like to think that Kid's character and his revenge story of, you know, taking revenge on the people who kill his mom reminded me a little bit of T'Challa's character and the journey that he went through with almost dying and then, going through, like, eating the herb and all of that. I actually found similarities there, which I haven't really seen anyone talk about, but I would say those are the two films that this really reminded me of.
That's really interesting that you said that, because Hanuman is actually a big part of Black Panther, because M'Baku, he says praise Hanuman in the movie. So that is like their god, whereas Basha is Black Panther's. So yeah, I totally see that. That makes perfect sense to me. Here we definitely do get a backstory of Hanuman and backstory to Kid using the Hanuman story basically, and how he reaches for a mango and it turns out to be the sun, and then he gets punished. So when you grew up, did you know all of these stories? Are these like common stories that you know of?
Yeah, I grew up reading a lot about Hanuman. A lot of people have heard about Diwali. They don't know that the reason Diwali is celebrated is because of the Ramayana. And Hanuman, if you read the Ramayana, any summary of it, he's such a titular character of it. And so as someone who grew up celebrating Diwali, you always hear a lot about Hanuman. You hear about the stories of him and how he did try to reach for a mango and it turned out to be a sun and he was punished by the gods. And then eventually how he embarked on the adventure known as the Ramayana, which is also referenced in this film and is basically the foundation for the entire movie in itself, whereas Hanuman is the foundation for Kit's character, the Ramayana is really the foundation for the larger plot of Monkey Man.
Yeah, you could definitely see that there were references from there in this movie. I love the way the movie starts off with him in the monkey mask, and he's basically wrestling. And if you're a wrestling fan, you know that like wrestling is kind of scripted. So like even though he's like fighting and it's real, he's being told to lose because of, you know, they want to make money, they're gambling and stuff like that. So it's really, really interesting, which it comes back at the end because you realize that he's a lot tougher than you normally thought. So I think that's really, really cool. And they also mention Baba Shakti, who we get to learn and find out about him being like the main villain in the movie. And even though, you know, there are some references to like political people, I believe people said that, you know, there are references to Modi and stuff like that. This could really apply to any religion. It could apply everywhere. There are people who abuse and weaponize religion and spirituality everywhere, right? So even though, like, I feel like this is a specific story in India and it references, you know, the Hindu religion, it could apply to any religion. It's a very universal story.
Yeah, 100%. I think using religions as a mean to gain power is something that exists in every religion, every region, possibly as a part of every single country's history, if I'm being honest. I feel like at any point, if you read a single country's history, either it was colonized through using religion as a power, it was colonized through people using religion as a way of gaining power, or a country gained power by weaponizing religion. So I think the very like meat of it and the main themes are applicable in any history that we look at. And I think it's very cool that it's done through South Asian specifically lens, like through Hindu mythology, because it's not something that you see in Hollywood. I believe this is probably the first time I have seen a larger scale Hollywood film integrating Indian mythology, or I hesitate to say Indian, I should be more specific, integrating Hindu mythology into it. And it opens up audiences for a whole new genre to explore when it comes to reading about mythology or just learning about the religion in itself, especially when so much of the religion has been appropriated. It's kind of cool to see us like take it back in that way.
Man, I totally agree with you. All right. So we see that. We also see a little bit of the slums. And there's some scenes in there that definitely reminded me of like Danny Boyle's Slumdog Millionaire, where like they're handing off like the money and stuff like that. And you see the kids. And I was like, oh, a little bit of an homage there. And then we meet Queenie Kapoor, which I think is very interesting. They use the name Kapoor because Kapoor is known as like a very like, I don't know, how do I explain this? Like a very... It's like a Kennedy kind of name, but it's synonymous with like Hollywood and Bollywood and stuff like that. So you see her and she's trafficking people, right? So we learned that is like a whole traffic thing. And then earlier we see in the wrestling scene that even though this takes place in India, it's a fictional city in India, apparently. And I think they may have done that because they might not have gotten it approved by saying it's India, because all of the Hindu nationalist stuff in here, and then plus also saying it's Mumbai, that might have been bad. The other reason is they actually couldn't film in India, so they needed to explain why so many people there don't look Indian. So in the beginning of the movie, the announcer says there's people from all types of religion and background here, which I was like, oh, that's a good way to like get the audience to like not nitpick at something like that.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I think I was having a conversation with someone on Twitter or X about this, where one of the issues with the film is that a lot of the supporting characters obviously are an Indian, but that's really not the fault of the film in itself and it not attempting to. It's literally just has to do with the fact that they literally physically cut it. And we know that because Dave Patel, if you read the production, he literally went to India. He was, you know, touring the slums and I want to be very careful with my word choice here, but he was just trying to figure out where to film and find a location. And then he literally got booted out. So it wasn't even an intentional choice not to have supporting characters that aren't Indian, despite it being very heavily inspired by, you know, Indian political social commentary and Hindu mythology.
Yeah, I know you used the word slums, and I was curious like how people feel about that, because he's done two movies that are kind of like that highlights the slums and stuff like that. And people I have seen It's just wild. There's like white women that go to India and go on a slums tour. Have you seen that TikTok?
I haven't, but just hearing about it makes me absolutely enraged.
Like people will fly to India and be like, hey, take me on a tour of the slums. Like, that's insane. Like, that's insane. Like, who? And then she TikToked it, which is like even crazier.
I just think people watch Slumdog Millionaire and think that it's something that's like
romantic,
not as much of a problem as it actually is. And it's like a smaller part of India. But I mean, I went to India in November and not too long ago, and not much has changed in terms of that. I grew up in India. I lived there for 6 years. I saw slums at a lot of different parts. I go back in November, it's still the same, and it's such a big issue. And to see it being exploited in that way, and also to be presented in films like Slumdog Millionaire from a white lens is really, really disappointing, because at the end of the day, I'm very, like, again, careful with the word choice, but Slumdog Millionaire is a bit of poverty porn, and that's why a lot of Indians don't like it. I mean, I was talking to my dad about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't like that movie at all because of the way that it showcases slums and everything.
Yeah, totally understand that. So I don't know. It definitely deserves a critique, but, you know, I think this story definitely, I don't think it harps on it for too long, because you start going and you start infiltrating into the world of like this organized crime. So like, I guess the parts of the slums were really just in it in the beginning for a little bit of time, but this is more, less about the slums and more about class warfare, I believe, and marginalized communities, right? So you see that little shift in the narrative and the storytelling. And then we see him get this job with Queenie, and he says his name is Bobby. I think in the movie they don't say his name at all, they just call him Kid, which is very interesting. It's very Fight Club-ish, where you like don't know the name of the main character. It's like I kind of like that. And then you see him like train this dog outside, which, you know, he trained the dog to bring in the gun, which is another John Wick reference, which is cool. Also, though, there was a John Wick gun mentioned in the movie, so I thought that was really cool. What were your thoughts about when he starts infiltrating the crime syndicate?
I thought that portion was done pretty well. I think, to me, it's, again, very reminiscent of a lot of revenge stories. You know, you infiltrate the main area that you're trying to get at, and you find the ins and outs and the flaws of the place and the weaknesses. I will say, I think the world building of the story was done pretty well, given that, you know, it starts off very much casing the slums, but even when you really think about it, like, Kid himself isn't from the slums. He grew up in,
like, a village,
I would say, like,
right?
A very, like, small town, but you know, he grew up in like forest and with his mom, and then he went from that to then being like riddled to poverty after his home was burnt down. Spoilers, but yeah, I thought that part was done pretty well. I think the way that it was paced and the way that they kind of built that world around him and what he's trying to do, I thought was executed pretty well. And yeah, that's, I thought, like, I was on the edge of my seats the entire time trying to figure out what's going on with the dog. But something that's done quite well is that they build up that suspense pretty well, where they only show you just enough, but to keep you interested. And when you see the big payoff of what's happening and what he's trying to do, it's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Also, something that I really liked in this was the music. The music in this movie is really good. When it comes from like the beginning, when they're showing them, you know, at the wrestling match, when they have the getaway, when they have the training montage, all of that stuff is really, really good. I really love the way they integrated a lot of the music into here. So I thought that was interesting. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I would have to say I really, really enjoyed the music. The training montage for many people was their absolute favorite. If you watch one of Dave's interviews, he talks about how he really wanted to actually incorporate Indian classical music because he says that it's a dying art. And it is, unfortunately, as it is. And so to have and bring homage to that with the music being not just like, you know, more newer Indian songs like Mundiya to Bajke Rahi from the trailer, or that one song that he has in that action sequence. I can't remember the name now. But then also having like music that's literally from our ancestors, like hundreds of years dates, I think it was very beautiful. And I think overall having that part like, I think what's beautiful about the training sequence music, the training music sequence specifically, is it's based off of historical classical music, and it that parallels the fact that his training montage parallels a very important moment of Hanuman's own journey in itself. And so it's kind of like combining two historical elements, music and mythology. That was pretty beautiful.
So the movie takes a turn when he brings a gun into the hotel and he sees the police officer Rana Singh in the bathroom. And I'm like, whoa, this is too early. How are you going to fight the main bad guy now? Like, you got to work your way up. You got to wait. And then you see this like botched, like, you know, scene, like he messed up, he screwed up, and he gets his butt kicked. And there's this bathroom scene, which reminds me a little bit about like the Mission Impossible bathroom scenes, which are like really cool, where like they break the sinks and stuff like that, which I think is really cool. And then you find out that, you know, he messed up and he has to run away now. This was a very exhilarating scene, because like I was at the edge of my seat in this, and I was like, I didn't know what was gonna happen. And there's just like, and then there's like one scene where like he tried to jump out the window and the window doesn't break, and it just like cuts the tension with this like gag. And I think that's so funny. And I think that was so well done for Dev Patel, where he's like, okay, he's giving you this action scene, you're stressed out, you have anxiety, and he's got this like really hilarious scene where he can't jump out the window. Then they go back to the tension, and then he gets caught, which is so interesting, because I didn't expect him to get caught. I didn't expect him to botch this fight. I thought he was going to kill one person and then like slowly move his way up to the main bad guys, like by killing people slowly, like John Wick does. And this is where another example where this movie is nothing like John Wick, because like John Wick just kills like one person after another after another after another, but this guy went for the main guy. He's the only one that he tried to kill, and then he botched it, right? So I thought that was really interesting. What were your thoughts about the whole like botched fight scene?
Honestly, that also took me by surprise when, you know, they introduced him so early going for his main target. I was like, what does this say about where the story is going to go if he's already going for the main guy and he's going to kill him? Like, I was also pretty confused by that. I'm not going to lie, when I was watching it. And it was, yeah, you're right, it was a very exhilarating action sequences. I mean, there were just so many like cuts, and it was all over the place. And stylistically, it was very chaotic and everything. And, you know, it's very roughly put together, and it's a very rough action sequence. And there's a lot of times when you like can physically feel the pain that he's going through, because his character is going through so, so much pain. And yeah, in the end, he jumps in the river. I think for me, this reminds me something about Hanuman, and I could be getting the mythological aspect wrong, but I do remember at some point that Hanuman's tail gets sets on fire.
Yes.
And he sets all of Lanka on fire when he's trying to rescue Sita, and I believe that's the first failed attempt of his when he's trying to go rescue Sita. So I'm pretty sure it was supposed to parallel that, which again, if you're trying to create a story about Hanuman, you've done that perfectly in terms of having those two moments parallel like that.
Absolutely. I was just on a podcast, the Frankie podcast, with our friend Fantastic Frankie, and she had me and Shiv from Chivalry on there, and she literally gave us the whole breakdown of that. So yeah, that's exactly what happened. It's really, really cool. And I was like, wow, I had no idea. But yeah, that was super cool. And then after he gets caught, he gets away, he jumps out, and then he ends up in like a brothel, and they're fighting in a brothel, and you see him like rip somebody's nose off with his mouth, which someone said that, you know, that's also a reference to Indian or Hindu mythology, because somebody gets their nose cut off, I believe. And I thought that was an interesting story. What were your thoughts about that scene when he escapes and ends up in the brothel?
I did not. I think at that point I was like, wow, this action sequence really just keeps on going. Like, as soon as you think that it ends, there is always another, he's jumped straight to another type of action sequence. And that one in the brothel, I thought was also pretty funny, with, you know, the head of the brothel trying to attack him, plus like everyone else who was chasing him and him dealing with all of that. And yeah, you're right, the one where he cuts the nose off, it's also a part of the Ramayana. I believe in the Ramayana, Hanuman himself doesn't do it. It's actually the brother of Ram, his name is Lakshman, and he cuts off the nose of the sister of the main demon that they're trying to fight, which is Robin. So I believe that's what it specifically parallels. But yes, it does happen. And I think all those like attentions to little details and bringing in all those elements from the Ramayana is just makes for a really good screenplay and just a well thought out story, which I always appreciate in an action movie. I sometimes feel like action movies focus a little too much on the action and like less of the story, but that wasn't the case with Monkey Man.
Yeah. Someone said in the comments, I almost watched this with my family. I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good call because I was like, oh man, this is not family friendly. This scene. There was a lot of things you saw that you might not have wanted to see with your family. So yes, if you go see this movie, don't take your parents, don't take young kids, obviously. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But then he escapes into the water and then he is rescued, and he's rescued by the Hijra community, which is really, really cool. Now, for me, I heard about this before I watched it, but like, if I didn't, I think I would have been like so surprised because I wouldn't expect him to put the Hijra community in the movie. I wouldn't expect that at all. Did you expect that?
I didn't either. I honestly, if I'm being very honest, the Hijra community is not something that I've heard too much about. And I think this was like the first, I might have definitely heard about them in like passing in another film or watching maybe a documentary, but this was my first time really seeing the Hijra community and understanding who they are and who they follow and what they do. So it was very, very cool to see that. And I think Dev Patel putting them in this film and, you know, representing a minority group, especially one that is oppressed in India, gives that it's just so empowering for the community, and largely so empowering for the transgender community. And I think that was just very beautiful to see on screen, and to see them represented in such a positive, kick-ass way was, sorry for swearing.
You can curse here. It's fine. You can curse on the show. We do reality shows on here, which involves a lot of cursing. So you can curse on it. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. I've actually, like, I don't know how it is in India, but I know, like, they're very normalized. I wouldn't say normalized, but they're like common in Pakistan. And like, you know, they're out in the streets, and you know, you're actually supposed to religiously give them money because they're oppressed. I think we believe that they have a higher connection to God, because God listens to the voices of the oppressed. And so when something is happening, like someone in your family is sick or you have a baby, you always give money to the Hijra community and ask them to pray for you. So it's like a very common thing to do in Pakistan. So like, I would see them in Lahore all the time. And like, I was probably introduced to them when I was maybe like, I don't know, like 10, 12. Like, I was like, oh, that's what that is. And like, my parents explained to me who they are, and I was like, oh, interesting. They're like, that's the third gender. And I was like, and then like a few years later, maybe like 10, 20 years later, America is fighting over pronouns. And I was like, South Asia had like three genders for like decades. I don't know like what you guys are talking about.
Oh, 100%. That's actually really cool. And that's so beautiful to hear. But yeah, I kind of reminds me of sometimes a transgender people, you know, gender being something that's fluid is also very common in Hinduism itself, specifically with the concept of avatars. So one of our gods, Vishnu, for example, he has seven different avatars, and some of the avatars he appears as is as a woman. And typically Vishnu as a god is depicted as a male, but all the avatars are still him. So yes, like gender being fluid like that is something that's also very, very common in Hinduism. And it's something that you don't really think about it until you read about it. And you're like, yeah, like this is just what I've been reading about when growing up. And so, yeah, when, you know, you see these conversations happening in, for example, in America, you're like, this is literally what I like grew up, you know, learning about in, as part of my culture. So not sure why that's really hard to accept here.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. All right. And then when he starts training with the Hijra community, we see more of his flashbacks and background. And there's this one scene where he like opens up his chest and you see light in his chest, which I believe that's also a Hindu reference, I believe, right?
Yeah, it is. It has to do with Hanuman when he is asked by Ram and Sita, who are essentially the two people that you could say Ram is the person he serves in the Ramayana. hence by the name. He's asked what is the most important thing to him in the world, I believe. A question along those lines, and he opens up his heart to reveal that it's Ram and Sita inside of it. So, like, they're his whole world, they're his whole heart. And so when that scene happens in the movie and you see, you know, kid opening up his heart and you see it's a flashback sequence of him and his mother, it's like his whole heart, his whole world, everything that he's fighting for, who he's fighting for is his mom, and largely for his community and what happened to them and what they went through. So I love that moment. I saw that on screen. It fully reminded me of that moment. And I just thought it was so, so beautiful the way it was executed. And I don't mean to tangent over here, but that kind of bothers me, the way that people talk about the second act with the Hijra community and with the training montage and Deep Patel's going, or not Deep Patel, but kid going through it, is people saying that the second act is too slow, or, you know, it doesn't have as many action sequences. But it's like, if you really sit and you look at that second act, it is so rich in storytelling. The infusion of culture, political, social commentary is so rich that the slowness compared to the rest of the film means absolutely nothing. So,
yeah. I believe Dev even said in one of his interviews that, like, the action genre has been corrupted, and it's just this mechanical thing where they're just like, you know, they have a formula and they're just shelling out these movies over and over again. And he wanted to give us something with a little soul, with a little culture, you know, with meaning. And that's what he did. And the second act is really what cements that.
100%. And like I said previously, there's a reason why I don't watch action movies, and it's because I feel like a lot of them are often mechanical, and I'm someone who watches films for the story, and if I don't get that, then I usually don't watch it. And yeah, that's why I really enjoyed Monkey Man, because it was different from what you see in a lot of action films. So there's a lot of soul and heart and culture put into it.
Yeah. So while he's training, we also see him in, you know, he goes to these political rallies and he sees, like, you know, Baba Shakti and the political person that he's trying to, like, prop up. And then we also see, like, actual scenes from real protests. Like, they took actual footage from protests from the farmers, from the Muslim minorities, and they put them in the movie, which I thought was pretty interesting. And there is, you know, rumors that this movie may not get released in India because of how closely it relates to Modi and Hindu nationals and some of the stuff that's happening in India. And then to the point where, like, they actually had to change the color scheme of the movie a little bit because it referenced too much a political party. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that? I don't know if you knew of any of that.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember reading about that. And there are definitely being critiques made towards the film in that way. It's like, if you're going to go all out for the commentary, you should be willing to take that risk. I have mixed feelings on how people talk about that, in the sense that, you know, if they went all out, the film just wouldn't see the light of day, probably even in the United States. Mm-hmm. But they still took that risk. And it being Deep Patel's directorial debut to do that was such a big risk to take in itself, and I think it should still be praised. But anyways, that's a whole other topic to unpack. There was a lot of, as this film does reference, a lot of political and social commentary on what happens in India, specifically with minority groups that are oppressed due to Hindu nationalism, which is something that is so huge and prevalent in India. And honestly, you know, as someone, like, who doesn't live there anymore and who doesn't go through these things day to day or see them as part of the diaspora, it is very disappointing to see from the outside perspective, especially given how rich Indian culture is and how rich our stories are, and mm-hmm. you know, how rich Hinduism is as a religion. And just seeing how Hinduism is being abused for power in India versus how the practices and the mythology gets exploited in the United States is so disappointing on both ends, when it should not be either of them.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's you see these white women with yoga mats and they're preaching the spirituality, which is just a lot of, like, you know, stuff that comes from Hindu religion, just prepackaged for white people. Did you see the video where there's these white people that are appropriating carom board?
You know, I didn't see that, but I actually did hear about it. I think I saw a TikTok and I was like, I don't have it in me to deal with that and sit through those videos, because it's just, it's so ridiculous and it's so sad to see. I was actually thinking about it today, that so much of our culture is co-opted and packaged for Western usage and exploitation, when it's so much more richer.
I know. I tell my Hindu friends all the time, I was like, I can't believe y'all let the white women take yoga. I can't believe y'all let them take it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's crazy. But yeah, to be fair, we Muslims, we let them take manifestation. And damn it. All right. So I really like the scene where he is training, and I love the dole scene where the guy's on the drum, then he's kind of doing the little like rhythmic stuff and teaching him how to do it. Apparently he's a really famous musician in India, which is super cool for him to get him.
Yeah, he is. Zakir Hussain, I believe. Yeah, he's Zakir also Hussain. Like a 5-time Grammy winner or something along those lines, which is insane. And I actually was just listening to a podcast with Dave about it, and he was talking about how he really wanted like Indian classical music. And so he just called up Zakir, and he was like, "What, Zakir is probably close to 70. And he was like, "You want to be in this movie? I'm making it. You're going to have to leave India. You're going to have to quarantine for 2.5 weeks, and you're only shooting for half a week. So will you do it?" And Zakir was like, "Yeah, I'll do it. Like, I'll come." And so to have him in this film and to have someone who's so celebrated, and again, to weave it with Indian classical music and, you know, parallel a something also historic like mythology was just so beautiful. And I love to see it.
Yeah, no, that was really, really cool. I love that scene. I think it was really fun to watch. And then when he goes back, and what happens is, I think one of the transgender people, she gets attacked, and she, and then he decides to go back, and he's like, he steals money from them, goes back, gambles it, and then wins these matches. And one of the things that I really loved about these like wrestling matches is the first person that he fought was a guy named Cobra. Then he fought a guy named Shere Khan. Then he fights a guy named Baloo. They're all Jungle Book characters.
Mm-hmm. They are.
So I was like, that's so cool, this little reference that he put like all these Jungle Book characters in the movie, which I really, really liked. That was really cool.
No, I think it's beautiful, like, especially because watching Jungle Book as a kid and being like, hey, these characters, you know, like the main character Mowgli looks like me, and it's like a little brown boy, and then there's also a little brown girl, and to see him kind of not take that back, but to incorporate it in that way and be like, this is where these characters come from. It's very, very cool. It's very empowering, and that's honestly what the entire film is. Very empowering. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
It's very cool.
I think the Jungle Book, Disney made a live action Jungle Book back in the early 90s or late 80s, and that was the first movie my dad took me to.
Oh,
and and then I was like, I remember it so fondly, but then I looked back at it like many, many years later, the main character was Chinese. He was Asian, and I was just like, wow, I didn't catch that at all.
I know.
I think it was the same guy who played Liu Kang in in Mortal Kombat.
So, no way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was like, it's funny. All right. So now is Diwali. The election is happening on Diwali, and this is where he goes back and he goes fight everybody. And this is where I guess you could say part of it becomes a little bit like John Wick, because he's in this suit, he's going into the elevator, he's got the white mask on this time. He only had the white mask on for like half a second, which I was like, oh man, I wanted to see him have that a little bit more. But he goes in there, starts kicking butt, starts fighting people. Then we see these little like glimpses of like Lengas everywhere, and we're like, well, what's this? And then you realize that, like, you know, he's fighting all these people, and then they had like a Kill Bill moment where like a bunch of new people come out and he's like outnumbered, and then the Hijra community comes back and they're fighting, and it's like an all-out war, which is really cool because it was empowering the Hijra community to fight for them, because this is their cause too, even though he's on a revenge cause. Well, actually, no, I take that back. I think when he first fought him, his mind was on revenge. But after staying with the Hijra community and going to that political party and seeing all this stuff, his mind is more on justice than revenge, which is why he's more successful the second way around. And he kind of like, you know, told the Hijra community in that letter that like, hey, this involved you too. Like, justice is important. And then they go and they do this, and it's an all-out fight. It's a war. He fights Rana Singh with all these mirrors everywhere. And I thought that was really cool. And, you know, we kind of, the only thing I didn't love about this scene is it kept giving us flashbacks of his mother while they're fighting, and that kind of took me out. It took the momentum out of the fight, but I feel like people might disagree with it. I don't know, what were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I thought the third action sequence, not the third action sequence, the third act was pretty well done. Arguably also my least favorite act of the movie, just because it's very formulaic in the way that it's executed. Not that I blame the movie, just, you know, the rest of the movie is so, like, beautiful and unique in the way that it infuses culture and the way that it shows political and social commentary, and that's, like, what you get the least in the third act. So that's, like, what I would say was my least favorite part about it. I will say, though, like, it mirrors a lot of the Ramayana, you know, where you kind of work your way up the levels and you're faced with all these demons, and then eventually you get to the big one, Ravana. And yeah, and I also thought it was so poetic that they had that on Diwali, the day of lights, where you celebrate Rama's return to his hometown Ayodhya after defeating Ravan. And that's exactly what's happening here. It's like kids' own celebration of Diwali, or lights is fighting for justice, so that, you know, he can sort of not necessarily return to his hometown, but it's his own way of celebrating, and so he can get justice for himself, for the larger Hydra community, for everyone who's oppressed and powerless and don't think that they have the ability to fight back. They do, and this is about them, and that's what it's a celebration for. And that's also, like, kind of what's the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Every fight, every movement that there is for justice is to further and further achieve that light that we all see at the end of the tunnel. So I think that was the most poetic part of it. I think in terms of having the flashback sequences, I don't really know how I feel about it, just because I don't really know how else he would have shown it. I think the intention was to, you know, showcase the fighting and how that parallels what happened in his past. I do think that the way they narrated the flashback sequences can get a little bit choppy. The way it's integrated, it kind of comes out of nowhere. But in terms of how it's used as a storytelling device to mirror what's going on in the present, was done decently, so I don't have that much of a gripe with it.
So the thing with the I want to give, like, the movie a little grace, because I didn't love some of the flashbacks, but I think the flashbacks were a lot longer and more detailed, because I've read that the original movie was rated R, and it actually had scenes of what happens to his mother. Like, they showed the R word happening to his mom, and they didn't have that in this. So I feel like they have to cut that out. And I think they were like, hey, Universal was like, hey, if we wanted to make money, we gotta dumb it down a little bit. We can't go that hard, right? So I think they took that scene out, which, you know, personally, I didn't need to see that scene. That's fine. But I did feel like it kind of, like, he had to remind people why he's doing this and why he's fighting this. And they had to add that in there, because we didn't have the scene in the beginning. So maybe they did something like that. I don't know. But still, I like the fight. I love the fight. I like the fact that it wasn't like a one-sided fight like they have in most superhero movies and stuff like that, where one guy just beating up the bad guy. There was a lot of parts where I'm like, oh man, is he gonna win? Is he not gonna win? He got a fast kick last time. What's gonna happen? But he did win. And what we do see is Queenie comes back, and you're like, oh, he's gonna go beat her up. But turns out he doesn't. Instead, Sita comes out of nowhere, and she kind of saves herself and him from her own oppressor, which I thought was really cool. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was beautiful. I think, if anything, my main gripe of the movie is that we didn't see a lot of Sita or Shobhita's character, just because I feel like her character, yes, there is a lot of, like, social commentary going on with the way that women are often treated in India and are exploited with her character. And I definitely would have loved to see more of her and Kid together, at least not in, like, a romantic sense, just in the sense that I thought her character would play the role of where she helps Kid on his mission to justice. But she really doesn't do that, so it's a little hard to tell what the purpose of her character is, you know? They don't have any, like, many spoken lines together, and so it kind of feels like sometimes when her character's there, it's a little bit out of place. And I know, again, she's there to serve social commentary, but I just think that the way that it's executed can feel a little bit flat and empty. And so I would say that was my biggest gripe. But yeah, it is very cool that towards the end she does get her own scene, and, you know, she does get to fight back against her oppressor, Queenie, in that way. And, you know, the fact that her name is Sita again in the Ramayanas, I'm sure you know, the main whole story of Ramayana is that Ram's wife Sita gets kidnapped by someone named Robin. And so they go on the whole journey to try and rescue Sita. So the fact that in this version, Sita was able to fight back against her oppressor was pretty almost amazing.
Yeah. And I was on the podcast with Shiv, and she says that's the other reason we don't see so much chemistry with Kid and Sita, because Hanuman and Sita don't have that kind of chemistry. It's like a platonic kind of thing with them. So that's why you don't see a romantic chemistry with these two characters in the movie. And I was like, oh, it's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 100%. I think having, honestly, a romantic plot would have made the movie super overloaded, bloated. And if you watch the movie, I think for some people who specifically don't know, have no idea what Hanuman is, who Ramayana is, they're already trying to internalize that. Plus, on top of the political and social commentary, if you add in a romantic subplot, that would just make the movie like super bloated and just take someone out of it. So I'm glad they didn't take that direction. Still would have loved to see more of just like a platonic relationship, because I do think in the Ramayana that Hanuman actually does go to Sita and she actually does tell him a few things to communicate back to Ram. And so I think in that sense, having a more stronger relationship on screen would have been made the movie stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I appreciate sharing that. This stuff that I didn't know. Then we see Kid, you know, he's killed all these people, but he eyes one of the politicians, and the politician runs away and he kind of lets him go. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Maybe a little sequel action. I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. So he did that. Then he goes into the elevator, and he goes up, he meets Baba Shakti, and then, you know, he does this like bad guy speech, and then he has these shoes. Apparently these shoes are meant to like not even harm an ant. And then homie's got like knives in them, and he tries to kill Dev or Kid. And then they have their final scene where he kills Baba Shakti, and you see like the color scheme from the movie, and it's all cool looking and stuff like that. And then you know, we got the conclusion. What are your thoughts about the way the movie ended?
Yeah, I thought the conclusion was pretty solid. I don't think it's something they would have expected, in the sense that, you know, he also dies. But I think at the end of the day, when you are fighting for justice, sometimes that also means sacrificing yourself to really fully obtain it. So I thought it was very beautiful the way it's executed. I do want to say that I think the whole character of Baba Shakti, paralleling with the character of Kid, or not paralleling, but contrasting with the character of Kid, specifically in the relationship of how they view God and who God is to them, is something that is so interesting to examine in the movie. I don't think I've seen a lot of people talk about it, but as we know, Baba Shakti is someone who, you know, claims to worship God but abuses God and the very religion, the religious parts of it, for power. Meanwhile, the whole point of the movie isn't to say that, like, you know, religion isn't important and the idea of serving God isn't important. It's more to say that the idea of serving God means to do like God's path for justice and to fight for those and give them power who may not have it. And that's what Kid does. And in my eyes, what the whole movie is trying to say is that's why, you know, that's what it means to have a strong relationship with God, not one where, you know, you worship God and then you try to use that to get power, but where you use it to get justice. And so I thought that was very, very interesting in contrasting the way that both Kid and Baba Shakti view and worship God.
Very cool. Yeah, I love that interpretation. That's really, really cool. And that's all for the movie. So, like, you know, I really enjoyed talking to you about this. I thought it was really cool. I love learning the cultural aspects of it. There's a lot of gaps that you were able to fill in for me and probably the audience. I just think the movie is really well done, and it was like the little engine that could. Like, you didn't think this movie was going to make it, and it out of the depths of, like, you know, production hell, it came out, and, you know, it was good, and it only cost $10 million to make, and it's already made double its money. So that's awesome, and hopefully more people will go out and see it, and more people will check it out, and word of mouth will get out, and, you know, it'll make even more money, and studios will start taking more risk with some of these movies.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so glad to see that it's made already double of its budget. We deserve to see South Asians like this in action films, in all types of genres and stories. And if anything, that's one of the biggest messages that the movie sends. And so, yes, I hope to see in the future that we continue seeing that. I mean, we have Polite Society. Now we have Monkey Man.
Anything, we got two action movies within a 12-month period. That is dope. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, who would have thought that? I mean, it's a long, long ways from growing up with just seeing Buljeet and Ravi on screen. And now we have our two own action stars. I think it's very, very beautiful. And all we can hope for is that it continues this way and we get to see more South Asian people in diverse genres and stories on screen.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be really, really awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Could you let the people know where they can find you?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I loved coming on here and discussing Monkey Man. Such a beautiful, powerful film. And people can find me at Movies with Riddhi on TikTok and Instagram, and Movies with Rid on Twitter. I talk all things film, South Asian representation, fandom, as well as just other fun things that are going on in my life.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And you know what? We're definitely going to have you back for some other stuff. We love having you here. Everybody, thank you guys for watching. Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe. It'll really help us. Make sure you give us a good review. It helps the algorithm. Don't forget to like on YouTube. And until next time, guys, Salam, nerds.